Hi, and welcome to season two of Does This Make Me Look Old? A podcast about aging as gracefully as possible when you're just not ready.
We're two middle-aged friends. One middle-aged friend and one friend who seems to be deluded about her age.
Much better.
Who want to discuss topics around aging as they're starting to become more relevant to us, whether one wants to admit that to themselves or not.
Yes, well, I'm Sim, an anthropologist at heart, Dory from Finding Nemo in spirit, and basically never going to be the type to ever admit to being old.
And I'm Shiv, a physician interested in the science and medicine around aging, but also interested in how society and the media look at aging. And if that means that I have to take the hit by reading gossip blogs to find out, I will do so.
This season, we channel our love for pop culture and learning and talk about shows, books, people, everything. All through the lens of getting older.
We'll be covering topics such as how sexuality changes as you age, aging as a disease, and even how Sex and the City approaches aging now that Carrie is in her 50s.
And throughout it all, we chat, rant, and laugh about our own adulting mishaps.
So join us as we navigate our second quarter-life crisis.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Does This Make Me Look Old? I'm Sim, and with me today, we have a very special voice.
Oh my God, thanks. I'm just a voice now. Sorry.
Shiv.
Hi, I'm Shiv. I am still recovering from COVID. It has given me laryngitis, and I apologize to everybody for my weird voice. Oh my God. So and knowing us, it'll probably be like 40 minutes of them having to listen to me like this. All raspy.
Hey, you know what? In some situations, raspy voices can be sexy. Maybe you're doing that on purpose, you know?
Exactly. Just to be sexier.
Smoking voice.
Yeah. I agree. Cause like, I think, who was it? Like Catherine. Not Katharine Hepburn. Oh, she kind of did have a different. Yeah, she had a very like distinctive voice. I'm thinking of Catherine. Oh, anyway, the name's escaping me. But like, yeah, it's true. I feel like sometimes raspy voices can be sexy, but not this one. Not this one.
Oh, I'm sorry feeling this way, but what a trooper you are, right?
Sure.
You are, you know, I'm a baby when it comes like to illnesses. So I think I'm always in awe of people who are willing to like soldier on when they're sick. But I also know why you're excited about this week's topic.
Yep, exactly.
It's going to be a few weeks, listeners, of Sex and the City's reboot and Just Like That. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called Just Like That. Yeah.
Just Like That. It's going to be around themes from that show that we've picked up around aging, you know. So we're actually excited. We're watching it. I'm a little bit behind on the episodes, as always. But our pop guru here is all caught up. It's been interesting. Like even when we were preparing for this week's episode, like we might have had multiple rants about it or chats about it. I shouldn't have said rants because they were not all rants, but no. Yeah, you know,
it was a bit ranty.
Yeah, but in fairness though, most of our topics and where we land are ranty.
That's true. I feel like we do. I feel like I rant a lot.
Me too. You know, the word people use, and I'm sure it's the same for you as well, like where I get called feisty and a firecracker a lot.
Oh, which, okay.
You know, and I'm like, is it because I have a high octave voice and I have all these opinions about all these different random things that really have no bearing on real life, but
it's true.
But yeah. I make it like it has bearing on real life, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. To me, I think that all of it has bearing because
correct.
I don't know.
This is why we're friends.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if you think about it, like it's funny because like a lot of people do put down kind of like interest in pop culture and things like that. And and I find it odd because I feel like pop culture is a reflection of what we value as society, mm-hmm. because it changes over time and yeah. it reflects how society changes over time. And so what we think of as like classics are classics for a reason because, I don't know, like the values espoused in them Okay. Keep that thought. So this is why I feel like when people are kind of condescending about pop culture, they're missing the big picture. Because really, when we're discussing pop culture, we're not discussing the minutiae of, you know, who's sleeping with who or who did what to whom when. It's more like, it's more big picture things. Like, is this person who's supposed to be, you know, a paragon of celebrity and somebody who's supposed to be, you know, a role model for others, are they actually living up to that role model? You know, mm-hmm. like when they do something and it goes against, you know, what we value as society, like, how do we react to it? Do we actually poo-poo it and say, oh, no, you know, they just made the one mistake one time? Or do you know, do you call them out for it? You know, mm-hmm. are there consequences? Like, these are things that kind of matter. So even though they seem frivolous, I don't really think they are.
No, I agree. But the reason I was cringing and the cringe factor has been with me a lot while this past week and a half while I was watching a lot of the episodes for Just Like That. But the reason I was cringing was because, yes, I agree that some of those things are popular for a reason, but there are two examples that really bother me that they were so popular, even though I did read them. And you know, it's the 50 Shades of Grey book.
Oh, geez. That was a travesty.
I cannot forgive society for that because no. I'm like, no, I cannot forgive society for that. I'm so angry. I cannot even voice.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you. And I'm going to go one step further and say Twilight was also a travesty.
That was
going to
be my second
one. Oh, my God.
Except Robert Pattinson at least made it free. You know?
No, but the books were atrocious, and then the movies were atrocious. It was just painful. I don't even understand. I just don't understand.
you know, it's funny because I used to think that the Da Vinci Code was a badly written book. Okay.
Was it badly written?
The thing is, the plot was cool, right? Like, obviously, like, you know, those kinds of books, like, it's fun to read about the history and all those intrigue about art and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But that's fine. It's the writing that bothered me a lot because it was a lot of, he said, and then she said, and then he said. And I'm like, is there no other word for said? Like, could they not have whispered? Could they not have yelled? Could they not have murmured or exclaimed or muttered? Could you not have done any other word? Like, there is a synonym dictionary. There's a synonym feature in your word processor, right?
There's a thesaurus. I use it all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, why? So I used to think that that was badly written, but in hindsight, I stand corrected because then I read Twilight and I was this is an English report. You know, it was a great story. Like, it was fun.
It was worse than an English report.
No.
I feel like I will never get those hours of my life back.
That's how I feel about 50 Shades of Grey.
That too. Oh, my God.
And so it was kind of like, you know, you read this book of the Twilight and you're like, someone wrote this for their high school essay and decided to flesh it out for fanfic. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally how I felt about it when I was reading it. But I was compelled a little bit with this whole, you know, Edward, Jacob. I might have gotten sucked into it a little bit, I will admit. But were you team Jacob? Were you team Edward? Like, obviously, like, you have to have a stand. And so I did. So I kind of saw the appeal, but there was a lot of areas where I was like, oh, you could tighten it up. You could clean this up. This is like, you know, reading too much like a high school story, a student story versus an actual book, you know, there were those issues.
Yeah.
And then 50 Shades of Grey that has demoralized me about English as a language
Well, I mean, that was fanfic based off of Twilight.
I know. Right?
So like, it's so like, if the original material was awful, I mean, how can the derivative be any better?
Right. But here's the thing: her inner goddess, her like, I'm like, if I read that word of her inner goddess or pulsing goddess or whatever fucking goddess.
Oh, wow. You remember it? I have wiped it clean from my memory.
And you know me, like, I'm not like, you know, like, the thing is, you know how you run into people who are like, I will never read the genre, right? Like, yeah, whatever. And I'm not one of those people. I read cereal boxes, you know, like, it's if it's there to be read, I will read it. I'm not a snob about it, because this was the first time in my life that I wish I had been.
Yeah, no.
Because exactly. I was like, because all my life I was like, well, you can't criticize something if you haven't read it, right? And I was like, and this book made me realize, or these books made me realize. And I read all three of them.
You read all three? Oh, my God. Well, wow. Okay. I only read the first one, and then I was like, I can't read the other two. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Or however many there were.
I was traumatized, right? But at the same time, I wanted the full authority to say, I hate it. And I'm legitimately telling you, I hate it.
Yeah. Because I've actually gone through the process of reading them all.
Just so I can say I hate it.
Oh my goodness. That's a trooper.
No, it was, I realized, because people would have been like, oh, but it gets better. And no, it doesn't.
Okay. I had no qualms about it not getting better. It was definitely not going to get better. You can tell. there was no way.
Oh, I cannot believe that. Anyway, we digressed, didn't we?
We did. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Move back.
Oh my goodness. How much? Oh, I think we spent like 15 minutes talking about it. Oh my God. Sorry.
Okay. No, moving back. So the reason we actually wanted to record this session is because we wanted to talk about how the new Sex and the City series, Just Like That, has depicted Samantha. Okay, rant. I feel another. No. Focus, Sim. How Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte have been portrayed 20 years later. How have they aged? And basically, what does that say about how media typically thinks we want to see aged women? You know, or men too, I guess. Because although big, anyway, are we giving away spoilers?
Yeah, I think we should. We should just say from the outset that there's going to be spoilers.
Because
I don't think we can actually dissect this out unless we talk about what happens in the show.
Right.
And to reiterate, although there will be spoilers because we'll be talking about plot points, this is not a recap. These are not recap episodes.
Oh, gosh, no. I cannot go through that.
No, I mean, there are lots of pods, and I'm sure lots of blogs that have done really good recaps of the show.
Sure.
So feel free to check those out. Yeah, I think I have seen an And Just Like That podcast recap show. So if I find it, we'll try to put it up on our website. We'll link it up on our website if people are interested.
So Shiv, you're a lot further ahead. So maybe I'll let you start off.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, sure. That sounds good. So I think so we're probably going to focus on a number of different themes that we think are interesting from the series, or basically topics that we think need to be addressed about the series. And so today we're going to be talking about how the series And Just Like That is approaching aging among our little, what used to be, quartet of women in New York. Mm-hmm. I guess the first thing that we can point out is that, like, yeah, so Samantha's gone, and I kind of feel the loss. Actually, you see it right away, like when in that first scene where they're like waiting for that table, and it's like table for three. Like, it's just like
it's Yeah,
it was gutting. It was gutting.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, kudos to them for meeting this head on, though. They addressed it right away in whatever shape or form.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, and you know, and actually, like, just from the outset, like, you can see that, like, it's the same, you know, it's still Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte, but obviously, like, you know, they have, they're now older. And mm-hmm. you can see, like, some of them have kind of, well, I guess one of them has really embraced her, like, aging, and the other two are just kind of, like, you know, approaching it a little bit differently. And actually that's, like, brought up in one of the first, like, one of the, I don't know if it was under the first scenes, but it's pretty early on in the first episode, because Miranda is, like, sporting this really chic, like, bob cut, but, like, she's not dyeing her hair. She looks gorgeous. I think she looks amazing.
I actually think, it looked great on her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then, but then, you know, it's a plot point. Like, they actually talk about it because Miranda's going back to school. I think she's given up her high powered, like, lawyer firm job. And now she wants, did they actually explain what she wants mm-hmm. to do? She wants to be an ally. She wants to be an ally for people of color. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I think she's taking this course that's, did they ever say what the course was?
I can't remember. Irrelevant.
But anyway, she's taking a course in order to help her become, like, a better ally to people of color. And that's the part where Charlotte asks Miranda if she, like, or basically, like, explains that she's kind of surprised that Miranda doesn't dye her hair. And I was like, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, we've even brought this up, right? Like, as you age, do you dye your hair or not, right?
Right, so,
it's interesting, though, that, like, Miranda has chosen not to, and, like, Charlotte and Carrie have, like...
True. But what was interesting to me was that even though Charlotte and Carrie both dye their hair, there was a distinction made. And this was the interesting part. Charlotte gets called out, which was actually kind of fun to watch. She gets called out because they say that she's dyeing her hair to still look young, like as in to be passing for young, you know, and then when Charlotte's like, well, Carrie dyes her hair too. And the point they make is that, yes, but it's obvious, like, she's doing it for whatever reason. She likes the highlights or whatever. And that comes through. Right. And so she's not trying to pass for a younger person.
And
but that was a distinction that I thought.
Is that true, though? Like, okay, like
that I, like, don't know, but
yeah. So this is what I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. Like, so Charlotte is dyeing her hair to, quote, pass for young, and that's what, because she has brown hair and can't put highlights
good
in it or something.
Yeah.
And then, but, like, I'm sorry, but, like, Carrie's highlights are the purview of many young women.
Yeah.
Who go blonde, right? Like, or who actually, according to Tina Fey, go yellow haired. I always tell myself, I'm like, don't call them blonde. They are yellow haired people. So, like, so did they just give Carrie a pass because she's just the lead of the show? Because I was like, no, isn't she trying to pass for young using that? I mean, we all know it's not real. It's not quote unquote real. But the thing is that younger women are doing that all the time too.
Right.
So you're kind of still passing for young.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think what I did notice, and so the cool part about it is that they are focusing on these three women in their 50s, and it's not hidden, right? Like,
exactly.
I actually really like that they are the stars of the show. They're not side characters, you know, and they're women in, you know, women in their mid 50s, right?
Yeah.
Like, 55, which is great. I get what she was trying to say, but I think for me, it was nice to sort of see that, you know, like, for example, Carrie, you see the wrinkles and they do close-ups of the faces, and you sort of see the almost, you know,
The fact that like time has passed. Yes. Time has passed. And I guess Sarah, like, and I mean, I guess that's just a function of Sarah Jessica Parker. Like if she has had any work done, which I don't know if she has or hasn't, like it's been very subtle and she's still allowed like portions of her face to age naturally. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Like, I mean, I guess the thing is that if she dyed her hair blue, I would understand. Do you know what I mean? Because like, that's definitely like just a statement. Like that's like, I am dyeing my hair because I like this crazy color, but like she's not, that's not what she's doing. She's like,
but she never would have though, would she?
No, as a character? As a character she never would have. But I mean, I guess my question is, my thing is that like, I know she's claiming that she's trying to pass because quote highlights are not real, but the thing is that like young women are trying to pass highlights off as real all the time. So really you're still trying to pass.
Yeah, that's a fair interpretation. I won't love. But that is a fair interpretation. But yeah, no, that was definitely one of the standout moments of how they were showing, like, you know, that the physical way of dealing with it. But going back to Missing Samantha, I still think that that episode in the original series where she finds a gray pube.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And has a meltdown was one of the best TV moments ever.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
It never, I don't think, occurred to anyone. You know, and we're like, what, 10 years behind them. So I think like, you know, it definitely didn't occur to me at the time that this is something
that happens.
That happens, right? Like, I don't know why, you know, it was just not a consideration. You're like, excuse me, what? And I was as perplexed as Samantha was.
That's so funny. I know, but the thing is like they've all the other thing though is that they have actually like tried to approach issues around aging. And I mean, like, yes, the second Sex and the City movie gets a lot of backlash.
I mean, it should, as
which,
it should.
Yeah, yes, which it should. But the thing is the one part about that movie that was interesting was the fact that they did approach the fact that Samantha is in menopause, right? Like they did talk about that. Like a lot of the movie dealt around the fact that Samantha is in menopause, and like, which was just a function of the fact that she was always 10 years older than the other three, like in real life, as well as in the show. And so,
and keep in mind that even back then when that show had aired, I think it, in a way it was an homage to aging because it was showing women in their 30s looking for love rather than having everything settled and fixed and the 2.4
yes
kids,
like, actually that's true. Yeah.
In a way that was more of a on edge aspect of the show that what you have women in their 30s who still haven't figured their shit out, you know, and who are focusing on their friendship and still trying to meet men and go out and dress up, like, you know. And I think that was like one of the drawing points of the show at the time.
Yeah, because that was really the purview of younger like younger characters in so many shows, right? Like there were very few shows that like dealt with that. Although I have to say that Golden Girls dealt very well with like women who are in their 50s and like trying to navigate that like period of life, you know, after marriage, maybe like, you know, and dating during that time and like whatnot. So like it's not that it's never been addressed, but it's just, it's interesting that it like kind of happens.
Oh, and there has been another show that I quite enjoy. And it's a fun, sweet show. And of course, another Betty White cast. It was in the cast. Hot in Cleveland, very similar. It was
I mean, I don't know very much about Hot in Cleveland because I never watched it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, so
it
I can't comment.
Daphne, but... It had Daphne from...
From Frasier.
Frasier. It had Wendy, I forget her name, from Just Shoot Me.
Is it Judy Malik?
Wendy Malik?
Oh, Wendy Malik, yeah. Yeah. Wendy Malik,
And you're right. Malik was her last name. And Valerie Bertinelli.
Bertinelli, yeah.
And Betty White
In
the cast. And it was very funny. But, you know, it was just a fun show, like nothing earth shattering, but similar concepts. Like these are women in their 50s, but they're divorced or single for some reason, you know, and they're living together. Mm-hmm. And Betty White is also living with them.
Oh, that sounds cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, so it's, but then that I think ended in 2015. I'm just surprised that it never really gained any traction. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I always see reruns listed, you know, and I've just if it's on TV, I would like, if I'm at my parents' house and they have cable, cause I do not, I would just like, I'll just watch an episode or two, you know?
Yeah. The only reason I know that is because, like, as we all know, Betty White unfortunately passed away recently. And so then, like, so I knew she was in Hot in Cleveland and I wanted to know how old she was, like, while she was filming it. And so then I found out that, yeah, I think it stopped taping in 2015. So,
oh, wow. I didn't realize.
Yeah. So she was in her 90s when she was, like, filming that, which is unreal. Like, that's really impressive.
Oh, coolest woman ever.
I know. Yeah. So, anyway, back to And Just Like That. I feel like they did deal with Samantha and menopause in the movie, but unfortunately a lot of it was being used as like a comedic foil, which I think that's what annoyed me. I'm like, can we please just deal with the fact that she's in menopause, like in a kind of semi-serious fashion here?
Like, it's an actual issue. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe this time around they'll approach it differently.
Yeah, they haven't yet. Like I've watched, like, so to this date, I've watched about 8 episodes, and it's just, they haven't actually tackled any topics around menopause at all. So, I mean, I guess they're assuming they're all postmenopausal, which I guess is an easy way to get around that. But it's really kind of annoying at the same time.
Would you have been postmenopausal by 55?
Usually. I mean, so basically, like, by 55, it's possible that you're completely postmenopausal.
Yeah.
So,
but are there I get it on average, but does that mean that majority of women, like, well, obviously if it's average, fuck, my brain doesn't work when it comes to these things that I don't want to learn more about.
Yeah. Yeah, so it can start any time between 45 and 55. And so, yeah. So you could technically have just start, like, I mean, it's possible, like, you're on the tail end and you're starting menopause at 55. Mm-hmm. But I think the vast majority of people are kind of, like, menopausal at that time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what was I going to say with this? So maybe that's how they're dealing with it and, like, not actually talking about it, because they're dealing with so many other – they're dealing with so many other issues, as we will discuss in later episodes, because there are many issues.
There is. So we'll talk about the health stuff later, because I feel like there's quite a – those kind of topics that I feel like deserves its own section about, you know, health issues when you get older. Yeah. But the one I wanted to ask you, because you're way more fashionable than I am.
That's debatable. That's debatable.
No, it's not. Like, this is okay, just for the listeners out there, just so you have an idea. This is the person where you can show her a purse and she'd be like, oh yeah, isn't that from this designer from last season or 7 seasons ago? And you're like, and meanwhile, I'll be still at the, oh, that's a designer bag. And then we have these other friends who are sort of somewhere in between, you know, where.
I know. Yeah. I'm kind of, I can be a purse whore.
You know, there was a character in one of the, in this new series, in Just Like That, right? Where this character mentions that she names her purses. And I kid you not, Shiv, I thought of you. I was like, you know what? I bet you she secretly does that. Like, she names all her jewelry pieces and her purses. I'm crazy for.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God, the look of your face. Yes, you do.
I can confirm for our listeners, I do not. I do not do that.
It's okay. It's okay if you don't want to admit to it on, you know, this podcast. But you know, your face, you're going red. So you must have named one purse.
No, I haven't. I seriously haven't.
You're like all red.
I think it's – oh, it's because I'm under this like – it's because I have to be under this blanket in order to like mask sounds.
We will – believe you and move on, but I did think of you. I was like, oh my God, Shiv is Seema Patel. She's the Seema Patel of our friendship.
Oh, I have to say, I love the – okay. So the one thing I have to do – like this doesn't have anything to do around aging, but yeah. I do like the fact that the show has become – more inclusive and that they are including, you know, many people of color, many people with different gender identities. It's great. Like I think, yeah.
And not only that, I haven't seen this episode yet, but my sister sent me a clip because there is a Bengali American comedian who's like one of those side, like it's like a extra part,
yeah,
you know, but it was so cool to see him, you know, as one of those college students who sit and make noise and disturb Carrie. But it was just so cool to see him because I follow him on Instagram and stuff, right? He's this kid who's very funny. I think his name is like Osama something, you know, the comedian, whatever. Yeah. But it was so cool to see actual representation, like not that I'm a man or a comedian or an extra, but you know, the Bengali aspect, I will go with that, you know. I thought that was awesome to see. And Seema Patel, I'm actually kind of hoping that she becomes the new Samantha.
Yeah, I know. She's really, like, she's a really nice addition. And I think what I like about her character is that she's never been married. Mm-hmm. Like, she's never been married. She's in her 50s and she's dating. Like, I think, like, that's great. Looking,
that was perfect. I loved it. And I loved her vulnerability around it too, you know?
Yeah.
Like she's open about wanting to, but she's also talking about not wanting to settle. And honestly, I just felt like it so resonated with me. Like she just I felt like we were vibrating with on the same
level,
energy level, you know? Yeah. Because I was like, oh my God, you are also as rich as I want to be someday.
Yeah. No, so I mean, I do like that. Like it's so good, like at least good on the show for addressing those issues around the fact that like everything was so whitewashed at the beginning. And you know what I find interesting? So like, okay, so I've been sick with COVID. And so as part of that, and luckily, like to help me out, Netflix put Seinfeld on. I mean, yeah. So like Seinfeld is on Netflix. So I was just like, yay, I can actually binge watch like the entire show again.
Okay. Sorry. I just think it's hilarious that your first instinct was that Netflix put on this show for you because you're sick.
Yes. I know, just for my benefit.
Like they knew that Shiv is sick and she needs a comfort show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sorry. I digress again. I apologize.
It's okay. So thankfully Netflix did this for me. But I was watching it because, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I wonder, as a 90s show. And given the fact that so many 90s shows get so much backlash about not being diverse enough, I was watching it and I was like, okay, let's get prepared. Let's get prepared for Seinfeld being like completely white. And you know what? It was not.
Really?
Yeah, it was not. So, I mean, granted, like the four main characters are, but like they interact with many, many diverse people. I was really impressed.
That is good because unlike – You'll love me saying this, but Friends, being in New York, not interacting with diverse characters.
No, even in the 90s, I can count on one hand. I think I can count on one hand how many people of color were in that show.
Sex and the City as well, being from New York, the characters, no matter what economic strata you're from, to not know how to, you know, not have interactions with diverse characters is weird.
Yeah,
it so is. That's it actually is. Good to know, because I should watch Seinfeld. I will one of these days.
Yeah. So yeah, I was kind of impressed with that, actually, because I was just like, oh, you know, there's actually like all these, like, obviously they're all side characters. They're all little characters that show up just like kind of randomly. But still, like, that's really what the show was. It was all just mm-hmm. it was always just about random kind of, maybe not necessarily one-offs. Actually, most of the characters in Seinfeld weren't always one-offs. They came on multiple recurring. Episodes. Yeah, they mm-hmm. were kind of recurring, but they weren't like obviously like recurring every episode. It would just kind of be like, oh, they're in a series of maybe like three episodes, just kind of like mm-hmm. scattered, you know. But like, yeah, but I was actually quite impressed. I was like, you know, they were way more diverse than I even thought.
I'm going to take us back to the original segue question. Yeah. Around the fashion.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry.
Or
this is like a very, very divergent. Like, we're like going off on so many tangents.
There's anyway. Just a lot to talk about, and you know, there's a lot to talk about. But
yeah, I don't even remember what my point about Seinfeld was. It wasn't that. There was something else. But anyway, go on.
It'll come to you, and we'll get back to it. Yeah. I wanted to get your opinion on how do you think their fashion sense depicts, like, is it age appropriate? Did you expect, like, is it on trend? Because I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, I like this, I don't like this. And there were a couple of outfits that Miranda were wearing that I was like, that's actually not bad, because I always pictured her as not so fashionable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then Carrie, I feel like she was always wearing like fun things, which maybe other people wouldn't be able to pull off, but you know.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not a judge of what's on trend and what people should be wearing. So I kind of wanted to hear your take on this. Like, how are they depicting that aspect of it? Like, are they still trendy, or have they settled into classics?
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. I feel like, I don't know what the, like, I don't, like, I'm not a, yeah, so, like, caveat, I'm not a costume designer. I don't even know all that much about fashion. I just know what I like. And so then, like, but I get the feeling that they've kind of put the three characters into little boxes. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of dressing them within their boxes. So I feel like Miranda, and also they're dressing them for their socioeconomic status, because, like, whatever they're wearing is, like, definitely designer and very expensive. Like, you can tell with Charlotte, especially, because Charlotte is all about the brand name game. Like, you can see, like, I think even in that opening scene where they're like waiting for a table, she's carrying a garment bag, and it's from, like, I can't remember which designer, but I'm gonna say Oscar. Like, I'm just gonna say one, but like Oscar.
Yes, it was for the two dresses.
Oh, was it? Yeah, for her kids, right? Like,
yeah.
So basically, so you can already get this interesting snapshot of them. It's kind of like, oh, Charlotte is dressing her children for a piano recital, and it's not like she just, like, you know, goes to, like, the department store and picks something up. She goes to fucking Oscar de la Renta. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, anyway. So Charlotte is all about the brand name game. You'll see this, like, throughout.
And is she dressing episodes, like, what you would expect her to, or what's on trend? Like, what is it?
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they've shoehorned Charlotte into kind of like the, you know, Manhattan socialite kind of, like, stay-at-home mom, but has to kind of, like, still appear put together kind of role. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, that's what she dresses like, which is interesting, because, like, I feel like, you know, her mom friend that they've created, like, you know, her,
yeah,
I guess, I think
I
it's
like
Nicole.
Her. I
she's
actually
yeah,
like
yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah, so, like, but it's interesting because it contrasts against, like, Nicole Ari Miller. Like, that's the actress who plays that character. But it contrasts against Nicole Ari Miller's, like, outfits, which are very, like, they're expensive, but they have, like, a more bohemian feel, because she's mm-hmm. more of, like, an art, like, she's kind of in that arts community kind of, you know, realm. And so, like,
which Charlotte used to be part of.
Yeah. And, but, like, she it feels like she's given that up. Like, now she's kind of, like, definite. It's almost like Stepford Wife. Like, you know, like, I am now married
she
with kids.
She was always a Stepford wannabe, though, right? Which was
yeah, she was. She kind of dressed like that, right? Yeah, like she dressed very, like, it was very waspy. Like whatever she dressed was very waspy. And I think she, like, she continues to kind of like dress that way, right?
So that's good. Okay. So she's been apparently very consistent.
Miranda. Yeah. Miranda's a weird one because, like, I feel like the costume designers vacillated on her. Like certain times she'd be like in these hideous outfits, like overalls or like sweatpants, and you're just like, what the fuck? Like, and but then they often went together with her like psyche at the time. Like it would always be like, oh, if she's feeling frazzled or depressed or something, then like they dress her up like super frumpy. But then when she was like actually dressed,
and this is the Sex in the City portion, right?
Yes, this is Sex in the City. Yeah. Like, so, but like as the show went on, like you could see that like she was developing more of like a corporate style, but like very stylish, but still somewhat conservative just because she was a lawyer, right? Like, so I think that was her style. And I think they're kind of keeping that in this show too, but I think they're kind of loosening it a little bit because like she doesn't have to be, she's not working anymore, right? Like she's not in that space anymore. So I feel like her clothes are a bit softer now. Mm-hmm. They still retain a little bit of corporate-ish esqueness, but like they're a little bit more casual. I don't know if that really explains it.
So and she's kept up with the times then, almost.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes when I look at Miranda's outfits, I would wear that. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I know. That's why it stood out, because I don't remember ever thinking that of any of Miranda's outfits, even the nicer ones, because I would always be like, it always felt like her focus was more on her career, being a friend, being a mom, trying to figure all of that stuff out. Like, you know, but in this one, the scene that stood out to me, and we'll get to Carrie right now after that, but the scene that stood out for me, and which is when I started thinking about this, was there was an episode, I can't remember which one, but they go to a comedy show. And the way the three of them are dressed is in stark contrast to the rest of the audience. You know, the rest of the audience were talking, it's like a spoken word crowd, they're in hoodies, and like even the ones who are wearing dresses, like, you know, it's just,
it's very casual. Like everyone around them is very casual.
And their idea of a casual night out where they know it's a comedy show, like, you know, was to wear those fabulous but very I don't know, different style of outfit.
I was surprised
because I would have expected, like, Carrie was the type of person who, if she's going to a golf course, even if she's not going to play golf, would have that whole golf outfit on, you know?
Yeah.
So for her to go to a comedy show and not be dressed as what she thought people would be dressed like, I was surprised by that. So
yeah, and I wonder if that actually has something to say about where these women are in their lives, where they're kind of like, I'm in my 50s and this is my style and I don't have a
phone. Exactly. And that's the part I was wondering, right? Because they don't address it. So that's why I was like, huh, I wonder, like, if it's a deliberate choice or if it is a lazy choice. Like, are they going to show that their style have evolved because they've grown into it?
Yeah.
And they know what they want to wear, or are they going to show that, you know, that they just don't know?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I kind of want to believe that that's actually what it was. Like, it was kind of like, you know, we're women in a certain segment of society and this is how we dress. And I don't really care that I'm going to a comedy show. Like, this is just me, you know?
I have expected the old versions of them to dress designer, but like dress like jeans and like some even if it's a blouse, but fancy blouse, but still have some kind of a casual element to it.
And exactly. I think Miranda was wearing like a sparkly jumpsuit or something.
I know.
It felt like you were going for an evening out, but like not a comedy show.
No, exactly. And that's why it stood out to me. And I'm not the person who actually notices these things as often. So Carrie, that brings us to Carrie.
Yeah. So this is going to sound really bitchy, but like, I feel like Carrie has always been very cutting edge. Like basically, like I think with Carrie, they kind of wanted her to be a trendsetter, like not just right. in the show, but like in real life, right?
Right.
And yeah. so, like, and I think, but I don't know if that's what's coming across right now. Like, right now, it's just kind of like, it's this weird mishmash of styles. She's always wearing a hat. I saw a meme, actually, where, like, they were, like, cataloging the numbers of hats she's wearing in all the episodes. And now I'm actually attuned to it. And, like, try to, like, see, like, if she's going to be wearing a hat. Because, like, it's – because, like, in the – yeah, because, like, in the first few episodes, she's, like, always wearing a hat. It's like, what the fuck? Like, are you trying to make hats come back? I don't get it. It's very weird. So, yeah, so I don't know what they're trying to do with Carrie. Like, are they trying to kind of push the boundaries with regard to what a 50-year-old should be wearing? Are they trying? Like, I don't know. There are certain outfits that she wears where I'm like, oh yeah, I could see myself wearing that. They're very, mm-hmm. they're very pretty and very classic. But then others where you're just like, I don't know what you're wearing here. It's very strange. And yeah, and her hats are something else, I have to say. Like, do they have a milliner with them? I don't know.
So I don't know if it was something that you reacted to, but I've been reacting to her hairstyles.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And they're not in a bad way. It's just, I feel like, and maybe I'm misremembering, but and again, it might be a function of, oh, I've gotten older and I'm changing the way I do my hair, right? Yeah. But I always got the sense in the old Sex and the City that her hair was always somehow voluminous, set up, but very chic, like very done up in without, like, even though it was always hair down, but it was like styled, right?
Yeah.
Now it's styled, but in a bohemian kind of a way. Like, a lot of the times she has braids and like a little, you know, like a very bohemian style with her long dress, you know, like, which kind of is, I don't know. It's just a little bit different. Like once in a while, you would expect Carrie to see in hairstyles like that.
Yeah.
It's just different. So again, I don't know if it's something that's intentional or, you know.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I've read, I read so many bizarre little articles, but once I read this article about the hairstyles in Sex and the City.
Yeah.
And what they did say about Carrie's hairstyle was that, or at least, no, what they said about Sarah Jessica Parker's input into the hairstyles in Sex and the City was that she wanted them to reflect what New York women were doing, which is that they often do not have time to go and actually get their hair done at a stylist. They're usually running from work, yeah. event, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. they're just going from event to event. So whatever they do always has to be very doable in their own home. So that's what they did for the show. What I'm noticing about her hairstyle now, though, is that I think when she's in times of, like, don't quote me, because, like, I haven't actually done, like, a scene-by-scene analysis mm-hmm. of this in any way. But, like, I feel like whenever she's kind of in times of crisis, she pulls her hair back into a bun. A very tight
Exactly.
bun. Yes. Yeah. And, like, and I think, and spoiler alert, I think it's because she's dealing with, like, the grief of losing Big and has nothing else to do with her hair. Like, she just doesn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's what is easiest to do, which is, like, pull it in a bun.
Yeah.
So it still looks like it's done, but it's not that hard to do, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, in the later episodes, you'll see kind of, like, as she's kind of getting her groove back, like, her yeah. hair is down and more, like,
so more back to the beach waves yeah. and those yeah. kind of things. Okay. Because yeah. that's the part where, okay, that makes sense, actually. Maybe I just didn't pick up on it because I just don't picture her in bohemian braids, you know?
Yeah.
But you're right, because and she's been doing a lot of braids recently, but you're right. I expect her more in, like, buns, like, whether it's messy or a polished bun, you know, like, I expect her to put her hair up like that. But the braids threw me off, and she's had the braids in a number of scenes where I was like,
yeah,
like, aren't you, like, the girl with, like, the curls and the beach waves, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and. So anyway, but
yeah, I mean that would be an interesting thing to just kind of keep track of and be like, huh, what are they trying to say? I do like how costume designers and hair designers actually like use it in a way to convey something about the character. Like right. It's never done. And this I never realized until I was watching Mad Men, but like it's never done haphazardly or in good shows.
Yeah. It's all those little details that make the show, right? And
yeah.
Kudos to all the makeup and hairstylists out there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And like, yeah, I mean, it's funny because it's true. Cause like even in real life, you kind of, well, I mean, I don't do that with my hair cause I don't style my hair, but like, but at least with clothes or makeup, you kind of do that if it's either like, you're tired and you don't want to do too much. So you just kind of like throw something on just to look sort of put together, but like that doesn't take very long. Or you feel like shit, but you want to look great. So you like put effort into it. So people, you know, like it could be anything, like, you know, like, but sometimes like what you wear and what you put forth to the world does kind of like want to convey some message, right? So like it would make sense that if you do it in real life, you would probably want to do it. Like a character would do it in a show too, right? So
my last topic for the day.
Okay.
Sex in Just Like That.
Oh, God. Yeah, this could go on for a while. Let me just
touch on it briefly, because if we have a lot to say, we can always have, you know.
Another episode.
But it is Sex in the City
part
two. So. And sex among 55-year-olds. In New York City.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing that I did explain this offline. We were having this discussion and I was having this discussion offline, but like, I feel like they have, and I don't know if this is just because this is the setup to another season, but like, I feel like they're kind of not really dealing with sex among 50-year-olds, really. Like, they're kind of touching on it. You'll see, because like as you continue to watch it, because I know you're only like a few episodes in, like as you continue to watch it, they will touch on it even more.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but like I feel like they're not really delving into it as much as they did back in the day. Like, I'm sorry, but like when I watch an episode about Sex in the City, I don't want the sex to be about the kids. I don't care about the kids having sex.
Not only do I not care, it was like, anyway, I was just remembering that scene of the kids and I'm like, really? Like, no.
I know. I get it. I know. I'm like, I get it. Like, I don't know if we should spoil this. Like,
we'll spoil that. But
yeah, because... Well, I mean, yeah.
In the scenes that I've watched, right?
Yeah.
Carrie's had sex once with Big, and Miranda, she's had her moment she's had her moment. Charlotte, nothing so far. But you're right. Like, it's not come up as a topic. And one of the things that I'm missing is them regrouping every day.
Yeah. To talk about their dating experiences, right?
Not like just that's, whatever experience. I just want them to, like, have those. And it doesn't, and I get it. Like, you are now moms and students.
That's what annoys me. I'm like, your moms and students and whatever. Yeah, you still have sex. I'm sorry. Like,
why are you not getting together more often so you can talk and debrief about this?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, why do we not know this? Like, why are we not talking about who's not getting some, who's getting some?
Exactly.
Like, why are we not at least talking about that? Like, good girlfriends, always talk about shit like that.
Exactly. I know, it's just...
And yes, it's true. Girls do. Just for the record. And if any one of your wives and spouses ever say they don't, that's a lie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, exactly. So like, I think that's what's missing from this series so far. I mean, you'll see, it kind of gets a little bit better towards later episodes. It's still not at that level that it was like during the heyday of sex. during the heyday of Sex and the City. Like, I think, like, I'm wondering if what they're doing is they're just kind of like setting up the story for like another season where like they kind of get back to what it was like. Like, well, except these women are in their 50s.
I certainly hope so, because, and we will be touching on this on a later episode, but it's like these women were not stuck in a time machine, technically. So they didn't just wake up and get plopped down in the middle of Manhattan and told to deal with some stuff 12, 20 years later. This is not, you know, what happened to Samuel L. Jackson, like 20, you know, in the Marvel movie. Like, I feel like there's a lot of issues, and I forgot my train of thought as I was talking because I was getting irate as I remembered it.
I think what we should do is you should probably watch till like you should watch till the end, then we'll have to revisit this because I think that we can devote an entire episode to like sex in and just like that and what it says about like sex and aging, because like it's interesting. Like I think that there is something to unpack there. The other thing I wanted to mention was
among getting older. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it is a thing. You know, like it's not like it just doesn't disappear.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what bothers me. It's just like, I don't understand why you guys are not talking about this. But I think the big problem, pun not intended, but I think like that's the issue, is that like, spoiler alert, Big dies. And so I think so much of like the show is dealing with the aftermath of that death, that I think that they're not really like able to kind of get back into the swing of things. So I don't know. I don't know if they're planning on another season. I don't know. The way that things have been going and the way that the reviews have been going, I'm kind of, I don't know. I think this might end up being it. So it's really unfortunate. I mean, I don't know. Like, I haven't heard like glowing reviews about this, you know, about the series. So it's really unfortunate because I was really hoping that they could delve into kind of like,
sexual issues in
50s, like when you're in your 50s and 60s, right?
Yeah. I think it's a great platform for a lot of these issues.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah. And I think like as we go through the theme, like through the themes that we want to talk about, you'll see how, well, I mean, so far I feel like they get close to the issue, but they never quite hit the mark. And it's just kind of like, oh, you know, like there's potential here and you just kind of missed the block. Like you just missed the platform. You just missed the, you know, like it's just, anyway, it's kind of
and
frustrating.
Maybe that's what I've been feeling as well, because I was, like, I started watching it with, and I was cringing at a number of those moments, but then they'd have these few seconds of like brilliant plot where you're like, what? You know, where is this going? And you're right. Yeah. And then it just shies away or somehow doesn't bring it home, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, like, okay. Like you were there. You know, like, you tease.
Exactly. It's so frustrating. It's like, I know. It's like a massive case of blue balls. It's like really, it's just like, oh, you could have gotten there and yet you just didn't. Anyway, like, but the one thing I did want to mention about aging, and it was like very, it was like in passing, was they do mention that Steve's lost his hearing. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I did. And it was, I mean, they play it up for comedic effect. Like, you know, because I thought what the funniest was when he's lost 60% in 1 year and 40% in the other. I just thought it was funny. And 100%. I don't know why I found that funny. But but also that he still picks up the phone.
Yeah, I know. One of you know, the interesting thing that I found was that I think that the actor is actually losing his hearing.
Oh, like, oh no, it's not funny then.
Well, I mean, but it's interesting that they put it in, you know? Like, I'm like, oh, you know, it's nice that they put in these like little tidbits that like that actually have to do with like real life aging, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, hearing loss. Oh God, so many like things to look forward to as you get older.
I know. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Like, I really feel like they could have dealt a lot more with, and I think we'll see that, like, we'll see that as we go along, is that like they just kind of never, they kind of shy away from really dealing with issues in a like really meaningful way. I don't know. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
But there are quite a number of themes that are emerging for me anyway. And you and I have chatted about some of those already, and you have some of those themes as well that you're observing. So we'll definitely be, we will as loyal fans keep watching and you know, pick up on some of these other issues around aging, the health stuff, for instance. There's quite a few of things I think there to talk about.
Yeah.
And sex, as always, which would be nice to talk about at this point, I think. And
considering it's a Sex in the City reboot.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So stay tuned, you know, and in the meantime, I'm really, like, we're both really curious to know if our listeners, have you been watching it? And if you have, what are your thoughts? Did you think that they were showing all the age-related changes in, you know, especially the physical changes and the styles and stuff? Do you think that, you know, it's the way you expected it to, or were you surprised, or you like it, don't like it? Let us know. We are available through email, does this make me look old @gmail.com. And of course, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Does This Make Me Look Old, our handles. And always definitely check our website out. Same name, doesthismakemelookold.com. Shiv.
All right. I think that's that. So we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.